92, baby. And I decided somehow, since the schedule got messed up, that I would speak on this topic at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why the hell did I decide that, because I am tired, you know. But I am a member of the programming committee for this CPRC NA21. And I don't know about y'all, man, but we have had some dynamite meetings. This was a damn good convention this year, you know what I mean? And the thing is, you know, people showed up and they showed out. People came to share. You know, no holds barred. People was coming clean up in there, and people was getting free just by listening. You know what I mean? And I know, because I know, by me choosing a lot of the speakers, and God, I'm just so grateful, because, you know, what I've learned in this process is that if when I invite God into any experience that I'm having or anything that I'm about to enter into, the outcome is always great, no matter what the journey getting there was like. Because, you know, personalities and principles don't always see eye to eye. You know what I mean? But, man, everybody, you know, like kind of, everybody came up to me after these meetings was talking about how this very topic that we're about to touch on now, how they kind of like was hurting and hiding and masking it, trying to just act as if, and the person shared and gave them the immediate freedom. You know? And I was in one of my topics today was one of the other people on the program, one of the topics was from desperation to restoration. And I remember, you know, in preparing for this convention, I'd asked one of my good girlfriends to share on a particular topic, but, you know, she said yeah, then she said no, she wasn't coming, and then for some reason, God put in her daughter's spirit to get her to come down here. She came down. My other girlfriend that's supposed to lead to me didn't show up. I mean, God is in charge. So my girl ended up doing the meeting anyway, and God, I mean, the freedom that I got, because I didn't even, sometimes I am such an idiot to my own dilemma. I'm the only one that don't know I'm in it. Because my body language says something is going on with me. You know what I mean? It used to be you could tell by what I had on, so y'all thought. But what I had on, what the fuck I was wearing anyway. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, the mouth will say anything, but behavior never lies. You know, and hurt people, we fucking hurt people. And then we attract to other people that like hurting people. It's not a coincidence that we get with empty-ass people when we empty-ass people. We kind of attract what we are. And I kind of like to gravitate toward the people that's like masking what they're really going through, because it just seems more important to shine for people rather than to be what God has presented in your life. And what I've come to understand is my storm is my strength, because all it creates is my story. And if I'm not sharing with you my story, I'm giving you my theory, and I'm killing you and me at the same time anyway. So I might as well do it the way I really like it. You know what I mean? This program, man, is so awesome. And what we fail to realize is that because our tongue has so much power, and what we say and we put out there, and somebody, we got to be fucking careful what we sowing in people's lives. Just through our words, because some of the things that I'm dealing with in my daily struggles ain't necessarily something I might not want put on tape, based on the fact that anything I go through always involves somebody else, and it's always involving somebody who's got to come in these same damn rooms where I got to recover at. And then I got to be careful how I come clean up in here, because I do not want to give another addict a reason not to show up in that meeting. I believe an atmosphere of recovery is more important than how the fuck I feel. It is not okay for me to take you hostage because you harmed me. So I'm going to blow you up in a meeting, and then I expect that, you know, you're supposed to like love me unconditionally now that I done made it hard for you to come into me. I've seen people get in relationships with people, didn't ask that good question, are you HIV positive? find out that the person was HIV positive, and then all this shit blow up, and then the person gets a legal form that said they can't come in that meeting. Now, what I'm saying is, I am not saying nothing's wrong with taking that step. You got to do what you got to do. But the thing is, if I'd have taken care of the dummy before, if I stayed out the victim seat before, if I wasn't so busy trying to mask how I really felt before I got with you, maybe just we'll both be able to come in here and get the help that we need and get the freedom to be and not be judged or ridiculed, because that was something that did not have to happen. See, what I found out is these roles that's in my life, I have a choice to choose which road I'm going. God has got a plan for each road. But I don't always got to take the low road to get to the high point of freedom. Pain does not have to be my only motivator. I ain't got to smell like shit to know I'm full of shit. And guess what? Neither do you. You ain't got to smell like shit for me to know you full of shit. Because I've come to find out that this program is designed to introduce me to me, but not make me sleep on you. Because when I can see me, I can see you too. And I'm no longer willing to sit up here and act like you better than what the fuck you look like. I ain't crazy. I know what I'm seeing. My significant other and I beef every other fucking day about the dumbest shit in the world, if you ask me. You know what I mean? But I can't act like I didn't know the shit was dumb 4 years ago. The shit still don't mean it. But you know what he told me tonight was, it means something to him. So now guess what? The program teaches me that because I don't agree with you, that don't mean that it's not important to you. So now out of love, I gotta respect you. So that here go another time that I gotta fucking wear enough. It's not necessarily a mask of harm, it's a mask of protection. Because sometimes I gotta put on these masks to protect you from me. Because I think I got this right because I feel I got this right to let you know everything I feel and think in the moment that I'm feeling. But guess what? If I'm telling you the moment that I'm feeling it, God ain't in that. Because I ain't had time to pray. I'm too caught up in what I feel. It ain't always about you, Jan. So now somewhere in this process, somebody got to get humble and admit harm. But guess what? I can't expect you to do it, because my personal recovery says that the only person to get the accolades from the Creator when I do what He designed for me to do is me. You may feel better in the long run, but the hit is the blessing was for me. It wasn't for you. You know what? I have decided, you know, take this journey outside of the program to get some. I don't want to just be a recovery. I don't want to just be clean. I never wanted to just be clean. I never wanted to be just. I always want to just keep getting better. So I've learned how to seek outside of the program to get even better. You know what I mean? So I've gotten into this spiritual journey, this spiritual walk, and I'm learning that when somebody harmed me, the last thing the Creator wanted me to do is harm them back, because now I owe. You know, this is not an eye for an eye program. This is a program of humiliation. And if I don't want to be humiliated by my own disease, blaming it on you, then I need to get humble and give the glory to God and just bless you with something. You know, I've been learning that every time somebody do something to me, it is not for the, you know, for the killer of me. Sometimes it's for the betterment of me. You know what I mean? And because God is in charge, I never know what He's really doing, who He's really working through. So I know, like tonight, when EU was cranking like a motherfucker and the old Jan wanted to show up and show the fuck out, you know what I mean? But this ring on my finger said I had to represent. You know, I really don't know if I really played that whole tape through when I decided to dance with somebody else, knowing that my significant other was going to have the reaction that he had if he caught me. Because I'm grown-ass woman. I don't want to feel like I'm getting caught. I got an image to me. You know, I can fuck that now. Now, come on now. I come off Homer. We don't get caught. We do what we do. Man, change. I must or die. I will, man. I do not want to lose what God has given me. And then I want to come in here and say it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be because I threw it away. So I got to get humble, man. I got to recondition myself to get back in the lane that he's placed me in. And guess what? The lane is so uncomfortable, Bob, because it's so unfamiliar. I ain't used to thinking about anybody else before I think about me. I got 6 kids. Do you really think that in my disease, clean, in my clean disease form, that I thought about them before I thought about me? You know how long it took me to go the fuck home and stop letting them babies raise themselves? You know, because my brother molested me when my mother was at work at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. It didn't matter any time of the day. For 3 years, 4 years straight, he molested me. You know what I'm saying? But I come in this process, and I, you know, I come into my life, and I think that because I've abused my children, or I've shaken them up and scared them so much that they scared to do the very thing that he did to me, to each other. Now I got my sons raising my daughters, just so I can be in Baltimore fucking with somebody that's ungrateful as a motherfucker. Don't care nothing about me. How can you care about me? You don't care about you. But I'm over there because, you know, and I'm trying to get you to eat a steak, and you're going to have to throw it back at somebody, but that's a whole nother meeting. But I'm stacking up oodles and noodles over here for my own damn kids. So my priorities are messed up. But I look good. See, I will come to believe in my dilemma that if I just look good enough, that somehow I will begin to feel good enough. And the thing is, what I don't want to own is the reason I'm out there is because I never felt like I measured up to anything that God said I'm already worthy of, because I'm his and he is in me. So I'm worthy of everything good, but I never felt that way. So I couldn't think that way. So I didn't act that way. I treated me bad and expected you to treat me better. But I taught you how to treat me every time I showed up and you showed out. And I said, it's okay, bro. I know you didn't mean to. I know you didn't mean to, baby. It's okay. Mama got you. But my kids over there, mama ain't nowhere to be found. Daddy long gone. God, man, this program has afforded me the ability to look at the person in the mirror. And before I can even love her, just start to respect that she didn't know what the fuck she was doing. The hardest thing it was for me to admit to myself was that I had no clue. It was more important for me to look like I knew than to share with even just me, only with me in the mirror, that I ain't know what the hell I was doing. So to come into meetings and have to expose my dirty self so I can come up clean and tell a whole bunch of people that I don't fuck with me for real anyway, because you know y'all jealous. Y'all jealous because y'all know because I look good on the outside that I must be really better than I am, so therefore y'all want what I got. You know, I got this diseased mind that Francis always says it's just not my friend. It'll tell me something is wrong with every time somebody turn their face up at me, there's something wrong with them. But I forget that we each other's eyes and ears in here. We each other's eyes and ears. And the response I get from some of y'all sometimes is valid because that's the orb that I'm sending out. When I'm functioning in nothing but me and my disease and nothing about my creator, I can't give out nothing but disease. And we gravitate to what the negative. I don't know what it is about me that make me want to be with the low-down, dirty, scoundrel type people. Oh, I know what it is. That's who I am. So now the mask got to go. You know what I mean? And I can't no longer act like, you know, like that, that I ain't fucked up. You know, people start telling you enough that you bad, you'll believe it. And people start telling you enough that you good when you know you fucked up, you'll believe it. And you'll forget to take care of that disease. You know what I mean? Man, this thing is so cunning and baffling. You know, I hate when somebody come up to me and give me accolades and tell me I did a good job or this or that. Because I don't, you know, even if I know I did and I believe it, but to hear you say it makes me check my motives. Because am I doing it because I need you to say that still come? I just acknowledged 8 years. And sometimes I still need y'all to acknowledge my outsides so I can feel good on the inside. And I hate that about me. I hate that that anybody had that kind of power, that anything has that kind of power over me, man. But when I look at it for real, it ain't that y'all or anything else got the power over me. It's just that I won't relinquish the power to the Creator. And anytime I try to hold on anything, man, God can't get to it with my hands are closed. When I give to Him, I'm supposed to be like wide open. Take it all. Not holding on to them little pieces that I got myself convinced that, you know, I can handle. I can't get that brother, you know, to like love me unconditionally when everything in this is conditional. You know what I mean? You only going to come if I got something for you. We only going to do the boo, you know, the matching outfits and all that thing. If shit is all good all the time. You know what I mean? We only going to do this if somebody's like saying what a great, how good y'all look together. But how about when we dealing with the fact that fuck how we look, we don't feel right together. We know this shit ain't right. Something is not right. Oh yeah, you know what? God ain't in this. Who invited God in? I know I didn't. Who needs God when I think I got the answer? When I'm the answer to my own cancer, why do I need God? When I can fix me with a badass outfit, some boots with this big ass and this pretty smile, a badass weave job, and a fine ass piece of meat on the side, what do I need God for? Because none of that shit ever worked, Jan. Nothing on the outside of me ever made me feel better about me on the inside. I still felt like I wasn't shit. I was never going to be shit. Because every time I looked in the mirror, they're right. I do look just like my father. Man, this program has afforded me the ability to see beyond the mirrored image, man. I see what God had planned for me all the time. The little girl, I see her sitting in the sandbox. I see her wounded. I see her holding on to all these little things that don't matter, but scared to let them go because then she'll be, you know, exposed. I remember having this dream about myself sitting in this sandbox, right? Because, you know, some other literature that we get to use if we want to get to another level spiritually, you know, it kind of talks about how when we became men and women, we put away childish things, which means we came out the sandbox, right? But I remember seeing my body in a sandbox and covered up with all these things and all these people and all these masks, and underneath I was just naked. I was in the raw. And when I had to relinquish some of that shit, bits and pieces of my flesh, the very thing, my body that looks good in clothes, but I never thought measured up. No, come on, that means I'm coming to y'all in the raw, but I don't like the package that he blessed me. I don't like what I look like. I have these insecurities that don't look like it in this bottom outfit, but I'm insecure about everything about me because, you know, I was always told that I was pretty to be black. Something was always just enough, but not quite enough. And I got that from the people that said they loved me. My mother, my father, my son, everybody. So I started identifying love with pain. Only way you can prove to me that you love me was to hurt me. So when I start getting in relationships, the only way you can show me you love me is to rearrange my damn face. And that's when I believed it. If you would take the time out your precious day to fuck me up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you must be in love. You know how foreign it was when a therapist told me, Jan, love don't hurt. Love is forever given and never taken. It's free, Jan. It's unyielding. You know, it's unconditional. It's agape. She started putting shit in my spirit that I'd never heard before. You know, so when she told me and I stopped coming to Narcotics Anonymous, y'all told me y'all would love me, telling me I love myself, and then y'all started telling me stuff that, you know, I ain't have to use or do things if I ain't want to. I ain't even have to do it if I did, man. My spirit just started to come to life, but slowly, because God knows that if he give me everything at one time, I will die. Because I will take credit for it, think I done something, then I won't. So he gives me little bitty pieces of the hope. So come now that I have 8 years and my life has begun to change and I go home sometime and I got out of those miserable relationships and now I'm engaged to be married. You know, it's just not so bad. I don't know about y'all, but the bad stuff was always easier to believe for me, man. Always, man. Come on now. Jan, good, quick, come on, measure that. You know how wonderful it was for me to find out through step work, through the fourth and fifth step process, that I had some assets. My liabilities list was as long as this table, man. My assets list was as big as this cup. My sponsor had to show me that I was better than I treated myself. She had to start teaching me how to give myself positive affirmations. She said, Jen, you don't need a man to make you feel whole and help you get free. You need to get free so that you don't need a man to help you get whole and help you stay free. She started giving me stuff like, tell you you love yourself. Take yourself out to dinner. Go to the movies. Buy yourself some flowers. Do something for you. When you put on a dress, don't put on a dress to attract attention. Put on a dress because that's what you feel like. Become a lady because that's who you are. You know what I mean? I mean, my sponsor, man, the patience that she... you know what? You have to be an awesome person to walk this walk with me, man. Because it was... You know, I sat in breakfast today and a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a long time that saw me when I came in, they knew I was a lunatic. And I used to cuss everybody. I was so angry because I was not comfortable in my own skin. And if you touched me, I wasn't comfortable with you. I wasn't comfortable with nothing. I couldn't stand the sight of me. The mere thought of me, I didn't understand why God even put me here. What was my purpose? So when I get in here, man, and Claudia was saying to me today at breakfast, I remember when you was, oh, God, I see the change. I remember when you would have cussed somebody out in a minute. Because, you know, being a serviceman, especially at this level, I have found out that some of the people that I started, that I came in here admiring and thinking was great, was really just as fucked up as I was. I found that out in service. They wasn't no, you know. I stopped putting people on pedestals or stopped giving people these accolades based on their clean tap or based on what I heard them share and didn't walk their walk with them. I don't know what you did in your 20-year process, but when I got it, I started to see. See, when I started to see me and accepting me for who I was, I accepted that I could see you too. And I, you know, and today a brother did something to me today, man. Brother got like 20, going on 21 years, and he did something so foul. I mean, I felt like I was being raped all over again. He didn't touch me in a mouth in a foul way. He just spoke to me in a way that I do not allow anybody to speak to me in that tone anymore. You know what I mean? I just got a better respect for myself today. So the thing I wanted to do, Barbara, I wanted to cuss his ass off. You know, and I sat there for a minute, and I felt so powerless and helpless, and I got angry. So I went on a hunt. I was going to let that nigga know. So I went all through that damn convention trying to find him, okay? All through that. And I was spitting venom everywhere. Wait, you seeing so-and-so? Wait till I see that motherfucker. So, you know what I mean? And I was hunting for him. Couldn't find him. See, God know me. I could not find him. And when I got to him, somebody said, I went to this guy that I used to go to the step study group. You know, telling him how the victim came up. And he was like, Jen, you got to pray for him. You got to hug him when you see him. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, right. So anyway, I heard it again. God, you know, the program is repetitious. And when God speaks to you, he speaks to you at least three times. Because I got that same message from three different people that I expected to sanction my bullshit. So when I finally seen the brother, me and the program walked right past him. But then me and the disease decided, oh, hell no. And I went back. But God knew I was going back. So he sent the angel to interfere because girlfriend ain't say excuse me nothing. She stepped right on in and started having a conversation and took him around the corner and said, I got to talk to you about something. She didn't know what was going on. Immediately, I knew that was God, man, doing for me what I would, not that I couldn't do for myself, that I refused to do for myself because now I got a point to prove. You know what I mean? And I just feel so good. I'm so grateful that the love and the camaraderie that I got in the fellowship extended beyond. And I know God's love now. I understand that he is not going to let me die, man. He is not going to give me more on my plate than I can have. He's always going to give me just enough. And he's not going to tear me down to get my attention. I do that. He's going to Man, he came ever so, you should have seen, it was just, it was so apparent who it was that was blocking the disease. Wow. When I was unwilling to yield and use the tools, surrender, admit complete defeat, and stay clean for that moment, he stepped in, my baby, I know this is not who you're trying to be and who you're working on, who I know this, Jen, don't cuss that man out. You know what I mean? And it worked out. The next time I seen him, I ain't speak to him. I ain't there yet. But I did not cuss him. I didn't feel the need to grit or do nothing. I just left alone, and I went on with my day. And I was able, I actually got a new level of experience and a new level of understanding about starting my day over. Man, God is good, man. I don't know if you understand the depth in the important, just how great the importance is to have a personal relationship with him when it's the outside of you that's more important than the inside. Because showing him what my out person, the old 40s or some Holman Avenue can do, still clean, was more important than experiencing the freedom that I got at the end of the road. You know what I mean? Man, I have so many different ways of experiencing this topic. It's not always just about a man and a woman. It's not always about a relationship. It's not even always about another person. Sometimes, man, I'm just trying to survive my own emotions. You know what I mean? So this has been, like I said, this has been an awesome convention, man. And it's not like that I went to 30 meetings. I just went to the ones that I was assigned to do. That's like 9 or 10 meetings, man. And I was so blessed, man. I am just so grateful for the 12-step ear, man. I am so grateful to be able to come in here with my dirty self and y'all, you know, love me like me. It does, you know, it don't even fucking matter today because I don't come in here for nobody else. I don't come in here to keep you. I don't come in here to push you away. I come in here for me. And when I do service to glorify the Creator. So when it went, you know... Man, this has been, man, an experience. And let me tell you something. This is not my first convention, but this is the first one where I really felt like I was an effective tool to somebody else, man. And it's not always the newcomer that needs the tool. You know what I mean? I got in touch with some old-timers needed the tool, man. And we were here. Do you know how my sister been struggling her whole life trying to not use. I don't even know if she was ever trying to not use. She's one of the ones think she's a black sheep. She's over die using like I used to think. Man, this is her first year clean, first year at a convention. Man, and she's just loving it. And I remember my first year when I got that indigent package and I had that hotel room. And they gave me all the man, I felt so loved, man. Then the next year I was in service secretary to the host, man. I just felt so blessed, you know, and I just love seeing her happy. She always says she'll never go nowhere, she'll never do nothing. Man, she's out there, and guess what? She don't need me to do it, and that's the thing that blesses me. She don't need me. I am not her power. I may be the power of attraction to get her here, but I'm not the vehicle that's going to keep her here. That's between her and God, man. She is, I believe that whatever he's done for me, he'll do it for anybody who seeks him out. So if you're in here and you kind of like, don't quite clearly understand what it is we're talking about through this convention, just keep coming. Whatever you do, don't leave. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. Because I'm telling you, man, anybody can be exposed to a new way of life. All you got to be is willing to let go of the old. You know what I mean? So if anybody told y'all they love y'all today, man, I love y'all. And if you don't know that for sure, it's 4 o'clock, almost 5 o'clock. And I'm sitting here fucking with y'all. When I really could be doing something else. You know what I mean? And I don't credit that to me. I credit that to God. But if they didn't tell you they liked you today, though it may not be all that important, you might not want to pass that over minimum of concern. You might want to take a 4th and 5th step process and find out who you are and why it is that people are affected by your mere presence that way. Because it ain't always that somebody hating on you. You giving off something. So with that, I'm going to open up the meeting. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.